What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord, and I will pay my vows unto the Lord, now and in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Brother Paul, brethren, what a delightful day the Lord has given us. And what a delightful experience that brings us all together. It's grand to see all of our brethren together. Brethren, let's open our day and our service this morning with hymn 298. 298.
Father, that you should so favor us with manifold blessings. The invitation to be part of your family. Indeed, our lives have meaning and purpose because we know thee and thy dear Son Jesus, because we have heard the call to come unto thee, a call of thy high calling, new creatures in Christ Jesus. How delighted and what a privilege it is to see our brother, young Paul Benson, hear thine invitation and respond to become part of the divine family. Oh, loving Father, thou knowest how we love him and we pray for him, that he would always perceive the warmth of thy fatherly counseling, as did even thy beloved son Jesus, the child Jesus. We do pray for him, we pray for our brother Jonathan and sister Jewel, and we thank thee for the influence that they have exerted of our brother Paul, helping him to indeed choose the narrow way of sacrifice. We thank thee for the ecclesia that have influenced his life to this degree. And we pray for them. And now the occasion before us, loving Father, our focus on our brother, not only our brother Paul, but also our brother Richard Serrazzi, as he expounds on this most meaningful event. An event of which even the angels take notice. They rejoice to see one coming to thee in this manner. And now we do pray for that blessing to be upon us, all of the activities related to this service, and that you would bless thy people everywhere. All those that seek thee, all those that have need of thee, please, Father, be with them also. We leave all in thy care and keeping. For we seek and thank thee in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Julius. The passage we opened with is a familiar part of our daily morning resolve. My earliest thought I desire shall be, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord for grace to help. I will pay my vows unto the Most High. And that came from Psalm 116, 12 through 14. Remembering the divine call, gather my saints together unto me, those who have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. I resolve that by the Lord's assisting grace, I will today, as a saint of God, fulfill my vows, continuing the work of sacrificing the flesh in its interests, that I may attain unto the heavenly inheritance in joint heirship with my Redeemer. I will strive to be simple and sincere toward all. I will seek not to please and honor self, but the Lord. I will be careful to honor the Lord with my lips, that my words may be unctuous and blessed to all. I will seek to be faithful to the Lord, the truth, the brethren, and all with whom I have to do, not only in the great matters, but also in the little things of life. Trusting myself to divine care and the providential overruling of all my interests for my highest welfare, I will seek not only to be pure in heart, but to repel all anxiety, all discontent, all discouragement. I will neither murmur nor repine at what the Lord's providence may permit, because faith can firmly trust him, come what may. Brethren, there's a journal that is making its way through our congregation this morning, and the request is that you take a moment to put a few words of encouragement and advice well wishes to Brother Paul. So take that opportunity as it comes by you. A theme, and how appropriate this morning, of Paul's decision to give his life to our Heavenly Father, surfaces as, remember thy Creator in the days of your youth. And how appropriate that Brother Richard is here today, who made that same choice. I'm not sure how many years ago, but at a very young age. And so, very fitting that Brother Richard is here this morning in the title of his discourse will be, after his opening hymn, which I just missed, is baptism. So let's turn to 122 for Brother Richard's opening hymn. 122.
I think I come to be the one I had in mind. Evidently, I gave you the wrong number. Which is that?
104?
Yeah, 104. I'm sorry.
104.
Sorry about that.
Good morning, brethren.
Good morning.
It's always a good morning for me to come together and worship the Lord. It's such a wonderful privilege for me to be here at the baptism of our beloved brother. Paul Benson. My message this morning is directly, primarily to our young brother, Paul Benson. I'm going to keep my eye on him. It is my hope and prayer that all present, and especially other young people, will also be benefited from the biblical quotations and thoughts concerning baptism and Brother Paul's strong conviction and his decision to consecrate his life to his Heavenly Father. Proverbs 23:24, the father of a righteous man has great joy. He who has a wise son delights in him. Proverbs 23:35, may your father and mother be glad. May she who gave you birth rejoice. Paul, I can tell you truly that your mom and dad rejoice because of you. Ecclesiastes 12:1, remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come and the years approach when you will say, I have no pleasure in them. Proverbs 23:26, my son, give me thy heart and let your eyes observe my ways. Paul, these two scriptures describe what you have done by approaching your parents with your heartfelt desire to be baptized. By being baptized in water, you announce to all your brethren what has taken place in your heart, your consecration to God. Consecration means to set apart as holy, to dedicate your life to God. By so doing, you are following the Apostle Paul's advice in Romans 12:1-2. I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is for you, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Your consecration, Paul, is an expression of love for your Heavenly Father and His Son, Jesus. It carries with it the desire to serve God all the days of your life, come what may. There are no strings attached to your consecration. Consecration has always been a personal choice throughout the Bible. It is available now in the gospel age, and it will be available when God's kingdom comes on earth as it is in heaven. Brethren, consecrate to the Heavenly Father to do the Heavenly Father's will and to follow in the footsteps of His Son Jesus. In Luke 9:23, Jesus said, if anyone will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. And in Luke 12:32, we read, where Jesus encourages his disciples by saying, do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. This is the heavenly kingdom Jesus promised to give to his followers during this gospel age. So, in addition to our consecration to serve God, right now, we have this wonderful invitation to become members of God's own family. 2 Peter 1, 3 and 4. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Just listen to the Apostle John's description of this wonderful invitation. 1 John 3, 1 and 2. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Verse 3 is very important in this text of John, 1 John 3, in maintaining this sonship. Every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. This means, Paul, that we are co-workers together with God. He will assist you every day of your Christian walk. Your human initiative, which means taking the first step and assuming responsibility in your daily walk, is what God desires you to do. Friday, I was very happy to learn that Paul has been taking youthful responsibility since first grade. Do you remember that, Paul? At that time, his first grade teacher called his parents saying, Paul was not repeating the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag with the other children. His parents said they would talk to Paul and find out why, since they never discussed it with him. This is what Paul said. He said he did not feel it was right to pledge allegiance to an object. It was like worshiping an idol, and he felt that he should only pledge to God. Now, isn't that wonderful for a first grade student? In second grade, he started a Bible study on the playground with a couple of his friends, and on the topic of Daniel. He brought his hymn book with him and a drawing of the cross and crown, which he made. He had been wearing his scriptural t-shirts to school, and it doesn't bother him what other people may think. We thank the Lord for you, for you are a good example. Now, the beauty of a young person is that they come into the world with mental blank pages and rely on their parents initially to guide their thought process and write on these pages what they will. This is where consecrated parents may impart to their children the finest legacy possible. I'm sure Paul and other children thank God for their loving parents. I too thank God, as I was Paul's age 12 years young when I was baptized. And you know, Paul, it's 61 years later. And I can tell you that the Lord blessed me all those years. I've had ups and downs, but He caused all of my experiences to work together for good. And He will do the same for you, my dear brother Paul. To Paul and all other young people, I would like to share with you the Apostle Paul's words in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. Timothy says, "Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, in purity." Youth never hinders a person who desires to serve God. We have a lot of accounts in the Bible of young people. Take Samuel. Remember Hannah? She wasn't able to have a child, so she prayed to the Lord, "Lord, if you only give me a child, a son, I will dedicate his life to you." And so Samuel was born. And sure enough, right after he was weaned, Hannah took the child and brought him to Eli to spend his years with him. There came a time when Samuel was sleeping that night in the quarters where Eli was, and he heard a voice, "Samuel." So he got up and he went to Eli and says, "Here am I." Samuel says, "I didn't call you. Go back to bed." This happened twice. And the third time when it happened, Eli said, "When you hear the call, this is what you are to say. Say, 'Here am I.'" Samuel did that. And just look at Samuel's life. As a matter of fact, he's one of my favorite prophets because he served the Lord faithfully. There was Joash, who headed a great reform, a very young person. There was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I think that's one of your favorite stories. It was mine when I was your age. Three Hebrew youths who were willing to be thrown into the fiery furnace because of their feelings for God and unwilling to bow to the king's edicts. And then in John 6:9, there was a lad which had 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes. And it was these fishes and bread that the apostles kind of borrowed from him. And Jesus, from these fishes and bread, created bread for 5,000 plus people. And then, of course, there was David. And Saul said to David, "Whose son thou art thou, young man?" And David said, "I am the son of the servant Jesse in Bethlehem." Remember, it was David who killed the giant. Here this lad came ahead, and because of his faith in God, he was able to vanquish over Goliath. In taking on this responsibility, Paul, you have nothing to fear. You have the promise in Hebrews 13, 5, and 6. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, "Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you." So we say with confidence, "The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me." These are your promises, and they will come true in your life, Paul. God gave a similar promise to Joshua as he entered the promised land, Joshua 1:5. "No one will be able to stand up against you," God said. all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, I will be with you also. I will never leave you nor forsake you. The Amplified Version translates the last line, I will never, never, never leave you or forsake you. Doesn't that make you feel good, Paul? This is a tremendous emphasis of God's love for you and all of his people. True Christian baptism is the greatest privilege ever offered to man. By it and through it, God enables the called out ones to come up higher to enjoy his heavenly home. As members of God's very own family, no greater privilege will ever be offered throughout the endless ages of eternity. Baptism is a downward road that leads upward. The baptism of the Israelites, freeing from the Egyptians, may illustrate this thought. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 10:2 that they were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Moses was their leader. The cloud symbolized God's guidance. I think I need a drink of water. Excuse me. When they came to the Red Sea, God caused the waters to part, opening a path for the Israelites to pass through. They had to descend into the bottom of the sea by faith that God would hold back the walls of water. As they descended down into the seabed, they also ascended up toward the promised land. The pursuing Egyptians were also baptized, but they had no authorized leader, no cloud covering to direct them. Their baptism was their last bath. As they approached the middle of the sea, God caused their chariot wheels to fall off, leading them to exclaim, "Let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians." Leviticus 14:25. It was too late, as Moses, by God's command, stretched forth his hand as the waters returned, leaving no survivors. Now the Egyptians illustrate the world of mankind descending into death. The Lord's people also die. But the difference is that God prepares them because of their baptism into Christ to ascend into the heavenly kingdom. Psalm 82:7. They all die like men, but fall like one of the princes. We are now where Jesus was. God sees Prince Jesus in us. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Psalm 116:15. Not only precious, but rewarding. For we read in Revelation 3:21, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I overcame and am set down in my Father's throne. This is real baptism, Brother Paul. And the Apostle Paul speaks of this in Romans 6:3-5. Know ye not that as many of you as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him in baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of God, of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Water baptism is an important part of our calling, and one that our Master, Jesus himself, made use of. Baptism and our Lord's memorial are the only two ceremonies enjoined upon his disciples. Jesus came to Jordan, to John at Jordan, and John at the time was baptizing for the washing away of sins as he prepared the way for Messiah. John knew Jesus was perfect and out of place coming to him for baptism. So he forbade him. He said, "Be afar from me, Lord. I should be baptized of you," he said of Jesus. Jesus' will prevailed as John baptized Jesus. Jesus knew what some people might have been thinking as they saw John baptizing him. Just another sinner. Jesus knew perfectly well what this baptizing meant to himself. He knew it was God's will for him, and he did not allow anything to detract him from being baptized. His only concern was what his heavenly Father was thinking. And immediately he knew the answer, for the voice came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Matthew 3:16-17. Water baptism is a good illustration of consecration. It is a symbol of the real baptism that takes place in the heart. As the brother lowers you into the water, Paul, this illustrates the burial of your human will, of the old mind, former hopes and ambitions. And as you are raised out of the water, this pictures your being raised to newness of life. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. As we have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Colossians 2:6-7. Romans 12:2 is a vital part of your life. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You renew your mind by a study of God's Word. Each scriptural thought presented to the brain may displace a thought which had no right to be there. Each heartfelt truth you receive from God's Word should prompt you to action in doing the will of your Heavenly Father. This is the will of God for you, even your sanctification. 1 Thessalonians 4:3. Paul, God sets you apart so that you may serve him. Like hymn 177 states, "My gracious God, I own thy right to every service I can pay and call it my supreme delight to hear thy dictates and obey. This sanctifying process is a lifetime work as you learn how God desires to direct you. Hymn 240 states, use my warmest, best affections. Use my memory, mind, and will. Then with all thy loving spirit, all my empty nature fill. If faithful unto the end, we will become divine sons of God, and we will set ourselves apart for eternity in order to serve our Heavenly Father. Isn't that a wonderful thought, Paul? David speaks for us in Psalm 23. I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Viewing these wonderful promises from God's word, we conclude, time is too short, eternity is too long to allow anything to come between us. There is enough time, Paul, to make your calling and election sure. God would not have called you if there wasn't enough time. Joshua 5:7. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth and hath long patience for it until he received the early and latter rain. As the Lord's child, you will be able to hear God saying in all your experiences, this thing is from me. 1 Kings 12:24. He who created man knows the breaking point. He knows just how much each can bear. And he will never allow you to be tried beyond what you can endure. Trust him, Paul. Trust his tender fatherhood. He encircles you in his loving arms, and he will not let you go. He cares for you. He will hide you in the shadow of his wings. Psalm 17, verse 8. And in Zechariah 2:8, we read, for he who toucheth you toucheth the apple of his eye. He will never forget you. Behold, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. Isaiah 49:16. And finally, Jesus' words in John 16:17. The Father himself loveth you. Paul, have you ever wondered what it would be like when God calls us home? Well, I have here a 6-sentence stanza I would like to share with you and with all of our brethren. Just think of stepping on shore and finding it heaven, of taking hold of a hand and finding it God's hand, of breathing a new air and finding it celestial air, of feeling invigorated and finding it immortality, of passing from storm and stress into a perfect calm, of waking up and finding it home. Amen. Paul, would you stand up? Please understand that this is our new brother, Paul. He's very young, but he loves the Lord with all his heart, and he has given his heart to the Lord. And it is up to us as consecrated people to remember Brother Paul in prayer. Now, Paul, I will just review with you some prerequisites for your baptism into Christ in the form of a few questions. The first question is, have you turned your back upon sin? Have you accepted Christ as your personal Savior and Redeemer? Have you made a full consecration of your life to God? Well, because of your affirmation in answering these questions affirmatively, it is a real privilege to extend to you, on behalf of your brethren, the right hand of fellowship. We welcome you into the family of God, and we pray God's richest blessing upon you, our dear brother Paul. I have here a few scriptures I would like to give to you before I extend to you the right hand of fellowship. The first one is found in 1 Peter 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And the second is Hebrews 12:2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And so, my dear brother Paul, I say the Lord bless you and keep you. We love you very much, and we know that the Lord loves you, and his son loves you. God bless you all the days of your life. Thank you.
Paul, take these words, put them in your heart. Take them with you. Remember Brother Rich's thoughts and the beautiful song that was just presented. Thank you. Brethren, there was a hymn that was, excuse me, is being passed around. It's Brother Richard's closing hymn. We'll give it a second to together and sing all four verses of Living for Jesus. Brother Richard's closing hymn. Afterwards, we'll have a few instructions and be dismissed in prayer by Brother Richard.
Please live in all that.
Request is that as Paul approaches the water, if you could turn to hymn 277, and sing verses 1, 2, and 3. We have the baptismal service, and after the prayer, we will close with verses 4, 5, and 6 of hymn 277. So at this point, let us turn our attention back to Brother Richard as he dismisses us.
Our beloved Heavenly Father, we are so happy and thankful for this opportunity of approaching your divine throne of grace to thank you for this beautiful day which you have given us, to thank you for our loving brother, Paul Benson, who has dedicated his life to thee. And now, Father, he will be immersed, even as your son was immersed, in water baptism. We love this young man very much, the Father. We have known him for 12 years. We've seen his example and his love for thee. And now he has come to the point in his life where he is giving his all to you, dear Father. And so we pray that divine blessing to be upon him, that thy Spirit may fill his heart and mind, that all of his experiences may work together for good because of his love for you, dear Father. And also we pray that blessing upon each and every one present in this congregation. May each of us also be a comfort and help to our dear brother Paul as he goes forth from this place as a new person, a person desirous of serving thee and thee alone. Keep us in our love, dear Father, and help us to be faithful, and bless us now as we witness this wonderful baptism of our dear brother, Paul Benson. And we continue to pray, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.